You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On MLB. It is Wednesday, May 2nd, and I am your host, as always, Tommy Stokey. Today on Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, we're going to talk Matt Harvey and his recent slip-up, I suppose, but more than that, I want to talk about the coverage of Matt Harvey and this specific instance and how we aggregate as media and how we read as fans and consume this stuff, because I think that the coverage of Matt Harvey quote-unquote partying before a game was covered irresponsibly and a lot of times, in many cases, covered inaccurately. And so I think I'm gonna go on a little bit of a rant here because that stuff really annoys me. I don't like aggregation as it is. I understand that it's a part of the business model now, but there's a way to do it, and media companies need to do better at it. And readers need to do a better job of understanding how some of that works and doing a better job of understanding context. But ultimately that falls on the shoulders of the media companies putting it out there. And when you do stuff like this, you're going to lose some of that trust, and that's where we get these buzzwords like fake news and stuff like that. So I'm going to go off on the Matt Harvey coverage, and then our second segment is just going to be a quick look at the Arizona Diamondbacks and why I believe that they are the best regular season team in the National League. I know they have the best record in the National League, but I don't know that everybody believes in them or sees enough of them to understand why, but we'll get into that as well. Players of the month real quick: Didi Gregorius of the Yankees and AJ Pollock of the Diamondbacks. So those two awards came out, but let's get to Matt Harvey and the Mets. So here's the story. Matt Harvey doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt anymore after what he did last year at Cinco de Mayo and what he's done in the past, but he deserves better than what he's gotten for this. So here's the story. The Mets play a day game in San Diego. Matt Harvey reportedly leaves town and heads to Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, for the opening night at some club, restaurant, whatever it is. He makes it back the next night, pitches in the game, ends up giving up one run, home run, and all of a sudden, Page Six, which is the tabloid in New York, for one of the newspapers, the tabloid that reported about Matt Harvey partying last year on Cinco de Mayo, comes out and says, Matt Harvey is partying the night before a wobbly start. That's your headline. And if we actually read the story, which is, I know, hard to do and seems crazy, why would we read a story when we could just read a headline and see what people are saying on Twitter? But here's the part that tells the story according to Page Six. A spy told us that Harvey was out stumbling around. He had to sit down at one point. He must have been so desperate to party, he came up from San Diego. Okay, so a spy, random person, well, he says Harvey was stumbling around and that he had to sit down at one point. Stumbling around is one thing. Sitting down, I think people sit down all the time, so I'm not sure that that's a thing. But that's one part, and people must have stopped reading there. Media people must have stopped reading at that and said, wow, he was wasted. The next sentence. Another guest said that among so many stars, quote, nobody knew who Matt was, but he was sober. So what is the story here? We've got one person that says he's stumbling around. The next person says he was sober. So Page Six doesn't know what the story is. Nobody mentions in their stories that there's another person that says Matt Harvey was sober. So a couple things. Where's the story? Because if we're going to start writing stories on players going out before games then and it being a crime, we're going to run out of players. Because It happens every night. It happens in every city. It happens with every team. Players go out. They go out to dinner. They go out to clubs. They go out to bars. And honestly, they kind of, I mean, it almost, you almost have to get out if you're those guys. If you have a 162-game season, you're playing, you're on the road, you know, over 180 games, you have to get out and do something. You have to have a life. I'm not saying you have to go out and make poor choices, bad decisions, and all that, but you have to be able to have some sort of getaway in that situation. So I don't know where the story is, because you have back-to-back paragraphs according to page six. You have one saying he was this, you have the other saying he was that. So if you're page six, maybe you need more than two random people, anonymous sources, saying two different things to make your story. If we did this in baseball terms and said one source says the Cubs are looking to trade this player, another source says they're not looking to trade this player, what's your story? Do you go find a third source to see maybe down the line what is the story here, or do you just run that? If you just run that, you don't have a story. So I don't know what the story is here. My bigger issue is how it was delivered. Mets, here are a couple headlines. Mets GM and players are sick of Matt Harvey's partying. Mets GM Sandy Alderson came out, and Mickey Callaway, the manager, but they basically came out and said it's not really a big deal, but he just has to understand that he's always going to be in the spotlight. A headline after that comes, which is an aggregation of the Mets GM and players are sick of Matt Harvey's pitch partying. The aggregation of that story on another site: Matt Harvey's partying lifestyle is beginning to alienate the Mets general manager and even some teammates. If you go to the original story, there is one anonymous quote from a player that isn't named, and it says, it's like, what is he doing? Okay, that does that say that they're sick of it? Does that say, like, man, I just wouldn't do that? That's a quote that doesn't really, that leaves a lot for interpretation, that you can decide what that means on your own. But the aggregation comes out and says, oh, Matt's teammates are now mad. Well, it was one teammate. I don't know that you can take that they're sick of it by that quote. And it gets aggregated to multiple teammates, and now the story blows up even more. And then my least favorite one, and I pointed this out yesterday, a publication runs a headline, Mets GM not surprised Matt Harvey out partying night before start. This is just factually inaccurate. Matt Harvey was not in the rotation. He didn't start. He had been pulled from the rotation at least 10 days earlier. He pitched out of the bullpen at 9 o'clock at night. They did go back and fix that headline, but that's the stuff that just drives me crazy. That us as media people need to be held accountable and do a better job of delivering news, and we have to do a better job if we're going to aggregate. And again, aggregation is part of the business model, and that's how it works. You have to be more responsible. You can't be factually inaccurate and say before a start. Accidents happen, but that can't happen. When they changed the headline, they didn't put an editor's note in there that said anything about we had said that he had started, and that's incorrect. But it's just, I can't stand that stuff. Now, if you know, the questions about Matt Harvey should be about his fastball usage, that he's throwing at 80-some percent of the time, even though his velocity's down. It should, you know, you want to have questions about his attitude towards reporters. I mean, I see stuff like this, and I don't really blame him for not wanting to talk to anybody. But if you want to get on him for not wanting to talk to reporters about the bullpen role, fine. But that doesn't mean that it's fair or even right to do what we're doing to this story. And I understand the page view game, where you have to do page views to make money. That means all your stories are going to be on LeBron. LeBron James blew his nose on Instagram. Here's a story on it. Johnny Manziel this, LeVar Ball that. You know, New York, a big market. That's, if you get somebody to click on that headline, that's good for business in the short term. In the long term, I think it's terrible for business. I think this is where, I said this in the intro, you get the fake news stuff. You get people not trusting media. And that's where it comes from. So people aggregating have to do better. Readers have to do better of understanding. I don't know how many kind of average fans who everything they read on the internet is true, and they say, oh, it looks like Matt Harvey, they're going to read this headline, Mets GM not surprised Matt Harvey out partying night before start, and all of a sudden they're going around saying, wow, Matt Harvey was getting drunk before a start, and that's just not true. And so I think in general we have to do better. We have to do better in our coverage of Matt Harvey when he deserves something like he did last year, went out for Cinco de Mayo, went golfing, didn't make it back in time, didn't show up. That is unacceptable. He deserves every bad thing said about him for that. That doesn't make it right to then do this. So we need to do better. So does Matt Harvey. But Matt Harvey doesn't have to do better because he went to Beverly Hills before a night game. He just has to do better because he's not pitching well. All right, let's get to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I believe are the best regular season team in the National League. I look at their depth and their quality of depth, what they're doing without Steven Souza, what they're doing without Jake Lamb, what they're doing without Paul Goldschmidt really producing at his level. They have the best record in the National League, and I think they're built to stay there for the regular season. I look at the Dodgers. They have a ton of flaws. I look at the Mets. They've got questions. The Nationals don't quite have the same depth, and you're seeing that when Bryce Harper says we're like the Peoria or the Syracuse Chiefs or whatever their AAA team is called without Daniel Murphy and Anthony Rendon. Meanwhile, the Diamondbacks are thriving without these guys, and they're only going to get a boost. And now, without Robbie Ray, without Shelby Miller, without Taijuan Walker, they're being challenged, but they keep winning. And I think that starts with Torrey Lovello and the manager. I think Mike Hazen and his front office, they do a good job of finding that valuable depth, those kind of cheaper options. And so you look at the bullpen, Archie Bradley, Yoshi Hirano, Brad Boxberger at the end, they have been doing a really good job. Guys in the middle, Andrew Chafin, TJ McFarland, Fernando Salas, they have the ability to add to that bullpen later, whether it's internally, whether it's making moves from the outside. So the bullpen's holding up. Then you get rotation guys. Matt Cook stepping in. People call him a quad A guy, and he's been doing his job. They're going to get Braden Shipley or Chris Medlin probably to fill in with Robbie Ray out until Shelby Miller's back. And when you're looking at a team's eighth or ninth option, Braden Shipley and Chris Medlin aren't bad for your eighth or ninth option in that rotation. And so I think the big difference is you look at guys like Daniel Descalso, Chris Owings, Jerod Dyson, Nick Ahmed, those guys stepping up offensively. And the thing about the Diamondbacks is if you watch them, you watch a guy like Daniel Descalso or Chris Owings. I watched those two, almost every game last year. And every time, watching them, they're like, wow, these guys have been really good. Then you look at their numbers and they're not quite as good as they look on the field. I think that says something about what Lovello gets out of them, in the sense that Daniel Descalso on Tuesday comes up with the go-ahead RBI triple. He's homered off Clayton Kershaw. Those are the big moments that you remember. Chris Owings, last season had some big hits early in the season. He fills multiple roles. So even if the box score doesn't show up, it feels like they're playing better on the field than their stats show. I know that doesn't sound great for numbers people, but they always play hard. They're always prepared and they're consistent. I know it's only May 2nd, but you look at teams in the National League. The Cubs are certainly more talented, but they're so inconsistent both offensively and with their pitching staff that when it comes to the playoffs, I think the Cubs will probably end up having a better playoff team for a 5 or 7 game series. I mean, there's still a lot of way to go for both teams to improve, but on paper, the Cubs probably look like a better playoff team. Nationals could look like a better playoff team. The Dodgers, who knows what they'll look like, but as far as regular season goes, the Diamondbacks are for real. I've said this for 2 years, and I try not to be biased just because I watch them every day out here in Arizona, but their depth, when they get Souza back, when they get Lamb back, when Paul Goldschmidt gets going, you're going to see these guys continue at the top. And so we talked about it yesterday with the Bovada odds that I, you know, even though the Dodgers are 2-1 to win the division and everybody expects them to play better, I think the Diamondbacks are a safe bet to win the NL West and come out with the perhaps the best record in the National League. I certainly think that they are the best regular season team, and that's not a knock on them because I think that they can be a very good postseason team. But right now, looking at regular season, the Diamondbacks, they're for real, and I think they're only going to get better. That will do it for our May 2nd edition of Locked On MLB. Check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and find all our work at LockedOnMLB.com.